Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get the latest from Green Bay with our insider Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette as he joins Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Merola on the web at merolalaw.com.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's the bye week, so I assume you're on a beach somewhere, Woody, or are you at home?
Hey, Woody.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, I don't jet out of Green Bay like many of the players. I'm at home.
Because you never know when news is going to break. They didn't have a little Tuesday workout yesterday, did they? The Packers?
No. This is better than for workload management. It's lighter than most weeks, but it's still stuff to do.
No, I meant like did they bring players in for workout? Because usually Tuesday's that workout day, and they'll bring a couple of players in for wide. You know, if they need help in some area, they'll bring somebody in on Tuesday.
They might have. I honestly have no idea.
Oh, I see. All right. they don't need any help. The Packers right now, do you look at their is their secondary as aggressive as it was early in the season?
I think it's as aggressive. You can make an argument maybe that it's too aggressive at times, and that's where it can get hurt. Jair Alexander made a really aggressive play on that Kyle Allen pass on the last drive and was in position for a pick six and just dropped the ball. So I don't think aggression is really an issue. I think it's kind of bridling that aggression and playing within themselves at times that can kind of get out of control.
Okay, I just feel like Petten's defense, it looked like they were more aggressive early in the season, and they look like they're playing off on receivers a little bit more. And that's just what the Freeman eye test there.
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying with some of the soft zone that they've been playing, and there's been some of that, but I guess I'm looking at it less from a schematic standpoint and more from a play style standpoint. And those guys on the outside are two really aggressive guys, Jair Alexander more than Kevin King. But Kevin King's been kind of playing through a groin, and he's been able to stay on the field, unlike past years where he's had injuries that have kept him off the field. He's played through his ailments this year, but that off coverage, which is not his game at all, probably helps to mitigate some of the issues physically that he's been playing through. He's at his best when he's right up on the line of scrimmage, and he gets his hands on receivers and the press man and it can use his physicality and his leverage, which are two things that he hasn't been able to do much of lately. So schematically, he's been a little more off. Jair Alexander, I haven't seen really much difference with him. But play style, those guys are two aggressive guys.
Talking to Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Quote from Mike Smith, the Packers outside linebackers coach. When Rashawn Gary becomes one of the best rushers in the league and outside linebackers, a lot of it's going to go to Za'Darius and Preston. I agree with that. I think that Rashawn Gary sitting behind, quote-unquote sitting behind, Za'Darius and Preston is only going to do wonders for his career, maybe in a much smaller way than Rodgers sitting behind Favre did. So I want to ask you about Rashawn Gary if you agree with that, but then also I don't hear anyone saying that about Josh Jackson sitting behind everyone that has passed him up. It seems like these two guys, while not playing a lot, Gary and Jackson, their paths seem to be – there's different ceilings for each of the guys, Ryan.
Well, the difference is the testing numbers, right? I mean, Rashawn Gary is an athletic freak. We know that. We, you know, runs a under a 4.6 at the combine, which is about what Josh Jackson ran at the same at a much different position. So, yeah, the issue with Josh Jackson, he missed a lot of time in camp with the foot, and the second camp for any NFL player is the most critical camp. Because it's your first full off season, it's the culmination of being in the entire off season program, spring program, and then being able to put it on the field. And when you don't get that, it's a lot to overcome. I think Josh Jackson is still overcoming that, but the reality is, Mike Pettine talked about it last week with Josh Jackson. Where do you play him? Because he's not quite fast enough to be a perimeter corner, and he's not ever really played safety. So figuring out where to play him is an issue. Now, Rashawn Gary, he's already starting on second base because he's got the athletic profile to really dominate his position. I mean, athletically, he's got that profile. The thing with Rashawn Gary is that he had a very significant positional change, a transition at this level from being that 5-6 tech defensive end with your hand in the ground, standing up all the time where the game looks different. There's way more to process. There's just a lot more to learn as an outside linebacker. So from that standpoint, it's been a learning curve for him, but he's come along. I mean, Mike Smith, I talked with him about Rashawn Gary yesterday. He's been really happy with his run defense, and his run defense has been pretty good. Has not rushed the passer much, but really hasn't needed to. Hasn't been in a lot of situations to rush the passer, because when this defense is in those situations, the Smiths are on the field, and rightly so, because they're a pair of Pro Bowlers this year. So, you know, it's one of those things where athletically we know he has that. It's just a matter of learning his position and getting more comfortable with this game and getting the opportunities behind the Smiths.
You know, I'm still amazed how they're a few days later, how they were able to stop McCaffrey on the goal line. I know everybody in the universe knew that McCaffrey was getting the ball there on the final play of the game. But as much as the beating that Packer defense has taken, both by fans, media, and themselves for just not being able to stop the run this year, to be able to stop them on the one-yard line, I still think that was such a total team effort there. That was still, days later, I'm still amazed on how well they did on that play.
And of all things, they weren't even lined up at the snap. I mean,
yeah.
They had guys, multiple guys, standing up at the snap. So I was one of the everyone else that knew that McCaffrey's getting the ball here. There's one play, your two-yard line. And I'll be honest, I thought it was going to be a touchdown. You know, now they still had to get the two-point conversion, so it was far from a guarantee that this game was going to go to overtime. But I thought McCaffrey would get in. So, yeah, give the Packers defense all credit to keeping him out, and you know, maybe the blocking on that left side of the line some of the blame for not being able to stick their assignments. But it's the type of play that this defense has seemed to make all year. I mean, they've given up a ton of yards. They've been really good in the red zone, and when in clutch key moments, they've usually risen to that challenge, which is really important, obviously. I mean, that if you can bend but don't break, it can get you a long way in this league. And if you can play clutch situational football, that can get you even further. And this defense has been able to do that. Not to say that the yardage isn't an issue, because it is. I mean, they've got to be able to get off the field more, and they've got to stop giving up these explosive plays and these long drives. But situationally, they have been okay.
Yeah, but to hold them six times, the Panthers six times inside the 13-yard line on that final drive without scoring a touchdown, I still, not only the one-yard run, but, they tried to pass it in, and the Packer defense, you know, they did not buckle down. They could have very easily allowed a touchdown on any of those other five downs before that McCaffrey carry.
Yeah, it's been the M.O. Red zone defense has been the M.O. all year. We look at their defensive profile. We know that the yardage and explosive plays are an issue. Well, the strength really has been, one, generating turnovers and big plays, and two, the red zone defense. And the red zone, they've been very good. You go back to the first half against the Chargers. I mean, holding them to 9 points, and they gave up a ton of yards, but they didn't get them into the end zone until very, very late in that game. That's been their strength all year.
Ryan Wood joining us. We'll talk a lot next week about the upcoming matchup with the Niners. We haven't talked to you since the thrilling matchup they had with the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. Did you watch, when you watched that game, did you learn anything that maybe you didn't know about the Niners in terms of what kind of matchup this could be for Green Bay? Do you watch them and think, maybe it won't be as tough as we thought, or maybe it will be tougher? What were some of your takeaways from watching San Fran the other night?
Yeah, you know, when I turned them on, it felt like, my goodness, it's the same offense in a different uniform. I mean, I've seen this offense for 10 games now. I mean, it's amazing how similar Matt LaFleur's offense is to Kyle Shanahan's. And we all kind of knew that, but then, you know, I hadn't seen the 49ers much. So to actually see it and to see all the bunch formations, to see the constant rotations of 12 and 21 personnel and the you know, relatively fewer snaps at 11, to see the pre-snap motions, the horizontal movements, the crossing routes and all those things, all of that stuff looks a lot like Matt LaFleur's offense. Now, I think that Kyle Shanahan's offense is probably light years ahead in the outside zone running scheme. You've seen a lot of inside zone, and rightly so, because they've had success with inside zone here in Green Bay. But so that's a little different in the run game. But formationally, personnel groupings, the passing game, all very similar. You know, as far as the matchup, look, I guess I took more of a big picture takeaway from this. The NFC playoffs are going to be nuts.
I know.
I mean, this conference is, one, very good, and two, very deep, and there's a lot of parity there. And the Seahawks are really, really good. They got a ton of talent on defense. They've got Russell Wilson playing at a high level. The 49ers are very good. The Packers are very good. The Saints are very good. I mean, it's going to be that Monday night game was really a playoff type matchup. In 2 weeks, when the Packers go out to San Francisco, that will be a playoff type matchup. And these playoff matchups are going to be really, really interesting and frankly fun to watch. I mean, that was the takeaway I had.
Yeah, if they got to play Carolina or Dallas in a divisional playoff game at home, that's going to be tough again. If Carolina's got to come back up here and they get in, you know?
Absolutely. It's not a gimme, you know. Philadelphia could be the team that they play, in a divisional game as an NFC East champion, and they already beat the Packers at Lambeau Field. I mean, there's a lot of parity in this conference. It's not the AFC. I mean, the AFC's got one dominant team, and it's been that way for, what, 20 years now? The NFC doesn't have one dominant team, but they got a lot of really, really, really good teams. And it's in a sense, it's a wide-open conference because there isn't that one dominant team. In another sense, it is going to be one brutal gauntlet to get through this conference to the Super Bowl. Whoever gets that far, whoever survives and advances that far through this conference, is going to be absolutely battle tested, and it's going to be ready for a game like that, because there's going to be multiple games like that to get to that point.
Ryan Wood, enjoy the bye week. We will check in with you again on Monday. Check out his work, Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in the year 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Do you have a gut feeling that the Packers are going to be on a collision course with somebody in the postseason? I mean, that they're not necessarily the wild card round, but the divisional round or the NFC Championship game, that this is the team that they're ultimately going to face. I have a gut feeling they're going to see Dallas at Lambeau Field in the second round.
I do not.
Yeah, I just got a feeling that we're going to see Dallas again.
I'm worried about maybe playing the Vikings at some point.
Think so?
What kind of experiences. I don't like what's going on in Minnesota right now.
Really?
This whole Minnesota football weekend, Minnesota great and everything.
Oh, no.
I'm getting real tired of Minnesota.
No, I mean, I look at the record 7-3.
I'm not scared of them.
I'm just not worried about them.
I don't want to play them, though.
No, not.
For even the remote chance that they lose to them.
I would hate to go there and play. If anything, I'd hate to go there and play in a playoff game.
But if Kirk Cousins comes to Lambeau Field and beats us in the playoffs, I need to quit. There's all credibility will be lost.
Yeah. Now, and the Vikings have already won a playoff game in our lifetime at Lambeau Field. But I'm not worried about them. I'd be worried about Breeze coming to town, but not Cousins. I'd be, Seattle, of course. But I have a feeling the Packers are going to see Dak Prescott again.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. The steak menu in full swing. Starts at just $7.99, too. So you can get a lot of good items with steak in there. You want to warm up this morning? How about some steak and eggs? The loaded steak quesadilla is a favorite of people at Perkins. And they've got your top sirloin steak dinner. Take the parents out. Take the kids out. Go eat by yourself and pull up. I'm not making fun of. When the last time we went to Perkins, there was a guy there eating by himself. And guess what he was doing? He was listening to radio.com, our show. That's not a lie. That happened.
Oh, I've done that. If I've gone by myself, I had the iPad there.
Yeah.
And I've had the app on, and I've listened to Bill's show, eating by myself. In the middle of the day, there's nobody else around, so you most of the time you're eating by yourself anyway. So I've done that. Yeah, that's not a big deal.
I mean, you could just ask us to come with you. I mean, we might.
I love
yes.
the radio.com app too, because I could listen to all of the shows I actually like Mike Valeni in Detroit.
Oh, not like our shows?
Oh, I listen to my own. Yeah, you're right. I listen to 5 to 6.
Yeah.
And the
listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just myself.
I'm kidding,
guys. I love all of you.
I've done that. Like, I'll listen to my podcast for like 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and I'll bounce around a little bit. And I'm like, oh, I got to get back to live programming, because I don't like hear my voice on the radio. I don't. I don't like hearing myself. Like, I'll listen to it to hear certain things that
it's
we do.
Good endorsement of your own self.
No, I don't like listening to my voice.
Reminds me of Jerry Maguire when he gets sick of seeing
himself. Who likes hearing their own voice
me,
on the radio?
I can't get enough of myself.
Really?
Same here, yeah.
I listened to me doing the Joe Tessitore impression 15 times yesterday, and I played it for my kid.
No, I don't like listening to myself.
And I made him do it.
No.
Perkins, it doesn't matter if you're by yourself or with somebody. Check out that steak menu. It starts at just $7.99 at Perkins all throughout the greater Milwaukee area. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Sports Flash right now.
Hey, good morning from the 105.7 FM The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on The Fan, Craig Counsell hosed once again. Finishes as runner-up for National League Manager of the Year. That goes to Cardinals manager Mike Schilt, who's named National League Manager of the Year on Tuesday despite receiving fewer first-place votes than Brewers manager Craig Counsell. Cardinals make a move yesterday. They reach a one-year deal with starting pitcher Adam Wainwright. Wainwright went 14-10 last season with the team. Over in the AL, rookie skipper Rocco Baldelli was named American League Manager of the Year after leading the Twins to 101 wins and the AL Central title, their first since 2012. Packers head into the bye week with a 8-2 record. Next up, they face the 49ers week 12 on November 24th. Yesterday, it was announced that game will be flexed to 7:20 instead of its original 3:25 kickoff. 49ers coming off their first loss of the season. No bye week for them this week. They'll face the Cardinals on Sunday. College hoops last night, a huge upset. Number one Kentucky fell to unranked Evansville at Rupp Arena. The first time an AP number one Kentucky team has ever lost a home game to an unranked non-conference opponent. The Purple Aces closed as a 25-point underdog at Caesars Sportsbook, matching the third largest betting upset in the past 15 seasons in a college basketball game. College hoops tonight, Marquette back in action. They take on Purdue. That's an 8 p.m. tip-off. The update brought to you by Amazon. Holiday hiring at Amazon starts right now. Get a $500 bonus and earn up to $20 an hour. No resume or experience required. Find your opportunity at Amazon.com/apply. Amazon, an equal opportunity employer. I'm Ryan Horvath, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Milwaukee's number one sports talk station. Listen live anywhere. Download the radio.com app and favorite The Fan today. Chuck and Winkler returns next. Who are the top teams in the NFC? We're talking about it with you this morning.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.